money, sex, relationships, current events, controversy. It all gets covered here. It's time to reshape, recreate, and motivate your mindset. So get ready for that cigar-smoking, cupcake-loving, coffee-drinking shopaholic, your sis and mine, MJ.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your girl MJ, back with another fabulous episode. Today I have in the hot pocket seat, Christina Sasso, aka Firestarter, aka Bella. We are about to enjoy this episode about her and what's going on. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the Dear Sis Podcast.
Thank you. We're excited to have you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so listen, share with me. So I have pondered, and I did a little bit of nosiness, I should say. I digged a little bit. You're a dancer.
Yeah.
A dancer, okay. Yes. A fitness trainer.
Yes.
Or instructor.
Instructor, yes.
Let's get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you do Bella as a voiceover, which is very funny.
Thank you. And
very busy on what's going on and want to be involved in, just like a little kid,
yes.
Which I love. Because yes. A lot of times, sometimes we have to revisit our childhood
mm-hmm.
to recognize where we are today. And we're just going to tap into a little bit. And hey, I always ask my guests to revisit their childhood.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it was fucked up or it was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we still have to revisit as adults.
I agree with you.
And
yes.
We hate to do so in order to recognize where we are today.
I agree.
So jump into it.
All right. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Forget about it.
As an only child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I have a lot of time on my hands. My mom was a working mom and my dad worked. So I was, I guess what they used to call it, not back in my day, but after my day, we'd call it a latchkey kid. My father would drop me off at school, but I would make my way home with my friends and open the door myself, and my parents would come home after 5 o'clock at night. So all that time from school to home, I had myself to entertain. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped me get an imagination and
yes.
find my own fun way of doing things. Because I didn't really go out during the school day or school week, I would be home and I'd stay home until my parents came home.
Okay.
So I didn't, you know, go out and play with my friends or anything like that. And
no? Not even like one little neighbor?
Not really. I liked my own company. I mean, I did have friends, obviously, but when I got home from school, I stayed home from school. I just enjoyed hanging around the house and watching TV and doing my homework and all that.
Now, at what age, as far as, like, what age? What's the earliest age you can remember?
Well, that I remember is definitely was grammar school.
Okay.
So I went to Holy Cross Grammar School. I remember my first day of school at Holy Cross.
Do you really?
I do remember that very, very so, like, distinctly.
5 years old?
I don't. It's, like, indelibly marked in my brain. I remember there was this horde of kids and parents, and we were in the annex at the time, and we were all waiting to get in. And I remember my mom had my lunch, and I was so excited to go in that I lost her in the crowd. And I saw her going, your lunch. And I'm like, yeah. I was like waving her away. I couldn't care less about the lunch. And I just went in, and I was so excited. And then one of the nuns was like, don't you have lunch? And I'm like, oh, I don't even know what I said. And I remember a little girl said to me, you can have half my sandwich. And I thought that was so sweet. I like think about this. And then I remember her saying, it's banana and peanut butter. And I'm like, whoa. And I was like, I don't think I made a face or anything, but I know in my head I was like, yuck. Because I had a bologna sandwich and that's what I wanted. But I recognized that she was sweet and she was offering me half her sandwich. But then my mother managed to somehow get my lunch to me and all was well. But that was a memory from first grade, first day of school, Holy Cross, that I can distinctly remember.
Good. I can't remember shit. Maybe third grade?
Ooh.
I went to Miami School here in Trenton, New Jersey. My mother is an immigrant. My mom's from Haiti. Oh, both of my parents are. But I can't remember shit. I'm the only girl. I have two big head brothers.
Oh, wow.
Marvin and Rennell. Mm-hmm. They drive me insane. However, like, I just love when people tell their childhood stories because it kind of, you can piggyback off of different things versus, like, you in New York City. And, of course, my mother moved here from New York.
Oh, really?
I was born in Kings County Hospital.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're a Brooklyn girl.
I am.
Oh,
I am.
Did you live there for a while?
6 months after I came out the womb.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then my mother came here to Trenton because she felt like Trenton was the place for opportunities. And one of her good girlfriends said, you need to leave my dad and just come to Trenton. My mom was like, sure. So she packed our stuff. It was just her and I.
Wow.
She was 21.
Wow.
And that was it. And she never looked back.
That's amazing.
So I always represent Brooklyn because I feel like that's where we really started from. Mm-hmm. After my mother came off the boat at the age of 19.
Wow.
And that's a lot of things people do not know about Dear Sis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So finish.
Well, I actually like when people think about their childhood. I try and think about things because you get clues to things in your adulthood from your childhood. I was a teacher for a long time and never really loved it because I didn't love the subject matter I taught, which was science. But I do love teaching. And I remember as a kid always playing teacher. I had a blackboard and I would have my pretend class. Again, I was by myself, so I would, you know, just be teaching whatever I was teaching. I love writing on the blackboard. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, that, because I think about, yeah, I used to love teaching. I still love teaching, but just not science. And then I thought, what else did I like as a kid? And I remember I used to do this when my parents were out, again, working. I would rearrange the furniture. They would come home from work. The couch would be in another place, and this would be anything that I could move myself was moved. And my mother would be like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Making
Why are you
a classroom?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I just loved interior design.
Oh, cool.
So I do that now.
Wow.
I love doing that.
You see why I always ask guests to talk about their childhood because it reflects on what they're doing today.
Absolutely. So I actually did a podcast for History with God podcast telling people to look back in your childhood. If you're struggling to find out, what should I be doing with my life? Think about what you really loved to do as a child and that's in there. It's still in there before it got distracted by, you know, I need to pay the bills and I need to pay the rent and I need, you know. Like, what did you love doing as a little girl or a little boy, you know?
I agree. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. That's another, I would say, fun fact about me. I don't watch television. I don't own a TV. I never have. I can clearly afford any TV. All the TVs out there. I probably need, what's those things called? Movie theater in my place. But we just don't, and we're happy with that. But we were raised, my mother had a television in every room, including the kitchen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I was like over her and over the television.
Mm-hmm.
Great mom. Mm-hmm. Great mom and dad. And they're both still alive today, which a lot of people can't say that. And I'm grateful that I can. However, just piggybacking off of what you said, I used to lock myself in my room and read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm an author.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't great in English, though. Barely could write. Sometimes.
But you have a story to tell.
But at the same time, I just was like, Dad, what did I really like to do? I love reading. I knew I always wanted to be a hairstylist because I was always in my hair, always playing with the Barbie dolls. I had the Jerry curl. So I always had something creative to do. My mother was horrible at hair, so she didn't do that. But she bought me all the books I wanted.
Oh, nice.
And I would lock myself in my room and just read forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. And sleep. Sleep is my best friend.
Ah, yes.
Sleep is my best friend.
Yes.
My mom used to always knock on my door and say, millionaires do not sleep. And I never understood what she meant by that. She said, millionaires don't sleep. Because I was like, I'm going to be a millionaire. She'd be like, millionaires don't sleep. And as I've gotten older, I was like, they sure don't.
Yeah,
they nap.
Right.
That's it. They nap. She's like, Nay, millionaires don't sleep, babe.
I'm yeah.
Like, you're right. They don't.
That's right.
So anyway, I love that. So let's fast forward a little bit. So now you did all the rearranging in your place when you were little. Only child, Brooklyn, New York, latch kid, did all those fun, goofy things, especially by yourself. And sometimes being the only child, it could be a gift and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Because you get everything, all the things you want. But at the same time, you can't share with nobody. Mm. You can't pull nobody's hair. You can't kick nobody down the steps. And you can't do all those goofy things that siblings do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just like, well, who am I to play with? And then you have to remember, like, I gotta be friends with her, and I really don't like her. She picks her hair. She digs in her nose. Her brothers stink. Her mom is a mess, and the dad is an alcoholic. I don't want to go over there, so I'm going to stay home. And I'm going to do my own imaginary things in my own room because I can't take it. So, fast-forwarding to high school.
I loved high school. I went to an all-girls high school.
What?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Are you Catholic?
Well, I was at the time, yes. My parents were. I just went along for the ride. But, yeah, I went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, Catholic college, and I taught in Catholic high school. Yeah. So, yeah, I went to that Catholic high school, St. Joseph High School, downtown Brooklyn,
okay.
Which I believe has closed just recently.
Oh, wow.
It was in an old, smaller office building. So it was 10 stories.
Ooh.
Yes. And it was, at the time, it was you either got an academic diploma or you got a commercial diploma. So some girls went the commercial route and went for typing and stenography. Ooh, stenography. And dictation and all that. And some girls went for more like academic, like science and da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, I loved it. I made great friends there. Still to this day, we are friends on Facebook. We meet every 5 years. We go out to dinner, all of us, as many of us can make it. We dance and we have dinner together and we have a blast. And we really love each other. It was a very small graduating class. I think I had 145 girls from my graduating class. It was small.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had a great time. I loved it. Loved it.
Was it mixed?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, I would say so. Well, I know grammar school really was. I was really with a whole mix of different people. My grammar school was on Church Avenue,
okay.
and Bedford Avenue.
Church,
so
yeah.
That area was very mixed. I come from Flatbush, so it was a very mixed area. So for me, it was never unusual to be diverse.
Good, good.
That's just how I grew up. And so same thing with high school, because girls came from all over the borough.
Nice.
It wasn't just like this, it was a neighborhood school. It's like I took the train all the way from Flatbush all the way downtown Brooklyn, and other girls did the same from various parts of Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah, so I always had that, thank God. I actually find it strange when I'm in a situation where it's very one-sided, mm-hmm. and I'll say it's very white. I feel uncomfortable because I feel like...
You should feel uncomfortable.
I feel like I'm like the darkest person here, and that's pretty light. I'm like... it's fine, I know, but I'm like, I couldn't live like this. It's just too homogenized.
Too white?
It's too same.
Too white, you could say that.
Yeah,
on the show.
It's
too
just
white.
Too That's white. Fine. I like flavor, I like some spice, I bring something, you bring something, somebody else brings something else, and we all can like make a big stew.
Good.
Yeah, I love
Good.
That.
Good. And it's funny, again, that's where we are today. We're just a melting pot of beautiful people mm-hmm. inside and out, regardless where you came from and regardless of where you're going.
That's right. That's
Everybody
right.
has to enter the pot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you stay or get the hell out.
Right.
It's totally up to you.
Right, right.
But while you're here,
right.
we're going to blend in together.
It's happier in the pot. It's nice
it
and warm and cozy.
It is. And then it gets a little cold sometimes. But that's good. So you went to all girls everything. Oh, God. I wanted to send my daughter, I still do, want to send her to an all-girls school in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called Spelman. But I believe she might go somewhere else.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens.
That's college?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. college. Because mm-hmm. at first it was Villa Victoria.
Oh, okay.
And... she was like, I don't know. And then after that, it was Stewart Day. Because we live in Princeton, New Jersey. We reside
okay.
in Princeton.
Okay.
And I wanted to send her to Stewart Day School. And it's okay. an all-girls school as well.
Okay. So is that high school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I don't want to do all-girls just yet. Or they're too weird or something's wrong. I don't know. We'll mm-hmm. see. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
What I'll say about being all girls is what was fun about it and what I liked about it. We got really close. There was no influence of the boys. It was just us girls. And we can kind of be ourselves without thinking about, oh, I need to impress him or, you know, or she's after him. There was none of that in my school.
Girls.
We didn't care. Yeah. We didn't really, you know, I didn't wear makeup to school. I didn't. It was girls. We were just... You know, and the girls had their own factions. Like, you had what we call the Earthies. They were into rock music and, you know, and then there was the disco girls. I was more like that. We liked to do the hustle and all that. But we all got along. That was what was cool. College, it wasn't all girls, though. College,
okay, great.
It was co-ed, yeah.
That was my next question. Yeah. Like, moving on, fast forward.
Yeah. No.
So college was what?
St. Joseph College in downtown Brooklyn, again, actually in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Yes,
nice,
a small, not the big St. Joseph from Philly, but it was a small St. Joseph College in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Does it still exist today?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
cool.
Yes,
cool,
it does.
Cool, because a lot of people will definitely do some research and be like, she don't know what you're talking about. But yes, it still exists.
Yes.
Dear sis listeners. It still exists. Wonderful, wonderful. So then you transitioned into becoming an educator.
Well, what happened is I had my degree in biology. I have a BS in biology. My thing was I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. And the thing why I thought that was because I love animals.
Okay.
And I worked for a veterinarian for a while, and I really didn't like the way that business was run. But I applied to vet school. And I didn't get in right away, but I did get into a PhD program.
Oh, wow.
At West Virginia University.
Online?
No, I went.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was going over there, and I was in the physiology and anatomy PhD program. And they're giving us a tour, and they're showing us, oh, yeah, so we're doing this testing on these animals, and we're doing this testing on, and so here's the pound. We get all our dogs from the pound, and I'm seeing them doing testing on the dogs and the animals. I'm like, I don't want to do this. So I loved West Virginia. I loved living on my own. I had my own apartment. It was a tiny little studio apartment right next to a chicken farm. It was fantastic. I loved it. I made friends there. But as far as the school, the subject matter, I was like, I really don't want to do this. So I came home, and I actually got an interview at Cornell, and I'd never went.
Ooh, ooh, wow.
I actually decided, oh, you know what? I'll get married instead. So I got married.
Okay.
To someone in college. And I'll tell you why. Because I felt like I was at a crossroads, and if you can examine your life and see why you make these mistakes and you don't make them again. I was at this crossroads getting ready to graduate, and I felt like, what am I going to do once I graduate? I'm going to be out there in the world, and I don't know what I'm doing now. I was going to be a veterinarian. Now I don't know what I'm going to do.
So you got married.
And the guy said, I'll take care of you.
What?
Yep. And I said, okay. And we got married.
What year was this?
1983. So, I mean, and I knew when I was getting married, I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. And I just did it, and it's like, you know what, you live and learn. And I fell into teaching because I was looking for a job, and I thought I would do some kind of science research stuff, and that definitely was not for me. And one of my old professors said, they're looking for a high school science teacher at McClancy High School, an all-boys high school. Are you interested? And it was December, so it was the middle of the year, and the teacher had left. And I said, yes, my mother's going to kill me if I don't get a job. She literally will kill me because she's driving me crazy. So, like, get a job every day. I'm like, oh, my God. And those were the days when you had to go and fill out applications and pound the pavement. There was no online stuff. You had to go out and send out resumes and get the New York Times and look for the one. It was horrible. So I went on the interview. I got the job on Friday, and they told me I was starting on Monday.
What?
Yeah. And I had never taught science in my life, and I was teaching old boys. That first year, like I said, it was December, so I only had to do half a year, but it was torture. Because, you know, first year's teacher, they're going to rip you to shreds. It was horrible.
Especially all boys.
Every day was like torture. But the next year was like night and day. It was great the following year. So then from that point on, I had been teaching until 1998.
98.
And that's when I stopped teaching. So from 1983 to 1998, I was a science teacher.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, moving along.
Yes.
So, now we become this fantastic fitness instructor. Okay.
Yeah.
So, how's that going?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I'm not doing it now, but we'll be back soon. The gyms will be open again. And
because all of our asses are stuffed in.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to do some stuff at home, but it's not the same. I'm a social worker, outer person. Like, it's very hard to do a workout by myself. Even when I do my own workouts at the gym, there are people around me doing their workouts. And to me, that's very inspiring and it's motivating. To do it on my own in my living room is just not cutting it for me.
Tell me, where did you get the name Fire Starter from?
My now husband, Frank, gave me that name. I do love to start fires.
Ooh, ooh, kudos to Frank.
I love building fires, little like campfires.
Oh, were you a Girl Scout?
Not really, no.
No? Okay.
I mean, I was, but not really. I went for the camping, but not for the any of the other stuff. Okay. I didn't get any badges or anything. Yeah, so I really like building fires. I love having like a wood-burning fireplace in our home. We have a fire pit in the backyard. And I like to start fires figuratively as well. Like, I like to fan some flames and stir some pots just to get some...
Get some shit started.
Yeah, you know, not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. No, not in a bad way. But Firestarter is cool. That's definitely cool.
Thank you.
I like that. And also, Bella, tell me about her.
Oh, little
what
Bella.
What is going on with her? She's all over the place.
Bella is a little handful. She's a cutie. She came into our lives because someone I used to work with at the Y on Christian Street in Philly. I used to teach over there once in a while. And one little dog had just passed away. And what's happened in our lives is all our dogs have kind of fallen into our lives. We haven't gone out and purchased dogs. We don't go to the pound and look for dogs. It's just that they find us, we take them in. So they're either homeless or they're going to be homeless, and we take them in. So one of our little dogs had passed away, and I knew that we were needing another dog to keep our little Zoe, who's one of my other dogs, company. And I saw her post something on Facebook, my friend Marlene, and she said, I need to get rid of Bella. She's just not working out with my other dog. She's really sweet. And I'm like, that's the dog. So she brought her over, and from that on, she's been part of our life. And she's a little skittish when she first came. She's a little scared. But now she's been with us about 4 years, and she's totally now got the lay of the land.
That's interesting.
What?
Because I was thinking of Bella, a character Bella.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. You're right. Yeah. Bella, she does a podcast with my husband Frank.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That's the same Bella.
Okay,
she's
cool.
From originally.
She threw me off a little bit.
I know. It's a long. She's got a long story, Bella. She was originally from New Orleans. Well, she's originally from the Bayou, but she had to leave town. Under very suspicious circumstances. She left town with her friend Slippery Pete, who is a alligator. But don't worry, he's vegetarian, so he doesn't eat little dogs. Although he does kind of like cats. But it's okay. He's trying to fight that. So they made their way up to New Orleans, and they have a bunch of friends that live in New Orleans that they hang out with. And then she decided Bella wanted to come up to Philadelphia. So she hopped a freight train with a little bandana and a can of beans, and she rode the rails up to Philly, and that's where Marlene found her and adopted her, and then eventually Bella made her way to us. And Bella and Frank now have a podcast where they talk about things that little children would be interested in, like adoption and what happens when one of your pets might die, where do they go? Do they go to heaven and things like that?
Yeah, they definitely have a doggy heaven.
Yes, absolutely.
They do. They have a heaven for all the animals. So
that's
all my
right.
Animal lovers out there.
That's right.
I'm a dog lover. Unfortunately, I do not like cats. to stay at bay, but I'm definitely a dog lover, and they do have a place for them as well. So all my pet lovers.
Yes, I am one of those.
Good. This is interesting. Quite a journey here.
Oh, well, don't we all have a story?
We do.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't like to share their story for whatever reason. But I guess if you don't want to share your story, don't. I mean, don't die with it either. It has to get out either way.
I think a story, it's your history, and it can help people. Because whatever you've been through, someone else has gone through something similar.
Or worse.
Or worse, yes. But definitely can help each other, I think, these stories. Right? How did you make it through whatever circumstances you had to go through or I had to go through? How can we help each other with what we've learned in our journeys?
Absolutely. And especially being the only child. That's cool.
I always wanted older brothers, though.
Did you?
I did.
I always wanted an older sister, but I'm good with my two brothers.
I think that would be so cool to have two older brothers.
Two older? Yeah. Yeah. Older or younger?
You have an older and a younger?
No, I'm the oldest of three.
Oh, I thought you had older brothers.
No,
oh,
two younger brothers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm the oldest. Oldest and only girl.
Hmm. Well, that's nice. You kind of get to have that place of being the only girl.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because I didn't have to share anything with, like,
that's right.
As far as clothes, makeup, or room, and none of that stuff. But we shared a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. We did, like, friends, and we talked about different relationships, and We still do a lot of bullshit together.
Are they close by? Do you live?
They are.
Oh, that's nice.
They are. Yes, they are. They definitely are. And my mother and father did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them were excellent parents.
That's cool.
And they're still alive and well.
And they live nearby as well, your parents?
My mother moved.
Oh.
My mother moved out of state.
Oh, okay.
Yes, my mother got remarried and moved out of state. She left us her home here.
Oh, nice.
And she bought another home.
Oh, cool. So you get to still see her.
My mother just moved.
Oh,
so
okay.
No.
Oh.
Since we are being quarantined.
Oh, no.
We can't do anything.
Ugh.
But look at everyone else in our four walls or 10 or 6 or maybe one. Mm. How many hell you have in your home or your chateau or wherever you are.
I got to say, you know what I really miss? I miss going to the local eateries. And seeing everybody, like hanging out at whatever it is, like Smokehouse or Mill Hill Saloon, or I really miss that a lot. That's what I'm finding, even more than the gym.
I do. Yeah, I do too. Because I'm also a bartender, but I do miss the social hour.
Mm-hmm.
I do, but hey, it is what it is right now. So
yeah.
I think we should just take it in stride and stay faithful.
Yeah.
Stay faithful. And last but not least, well, I wouldn't even say last, but definitely not least, I know you definitely are a believer.
Yes.
I love that. I thrive off of that because, especially during these times, it's difficult. And people are giving up.
Really?
People are, like, losing their faith.
Oh.
I guess because everyone is living in fear. And I'm one of those people that do not live in fear. I
Amen.
Fear God.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I fear God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't fear man. I don't
right.
feel a dog, kids, children, none of that crap.
Right.
None of that. Animals, just God only.
Right.
And once you get that mindset of you fear God, then you have no worries.
Right. Exactly. He's got your back.
He's got your back. And then also, we're here to do a job. It's not permanent. It's even written.
Well,
it's not permanent. It's all temporary.
We're in
Earth.
This world, but not of this world.
Right.
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 We're here for a time to do what the purpose is, and then we're out of here.
And people need to find their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And some don't.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. If you don't know what your purpose is, I think you should dig deep within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you go back to my podcast and listen, get rid of some of those generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
Practice on your goal. And be more mindful of who is in your corner as your support system.
Right. Well, I think this is a really, to make this a positive time, I think everyone has a lot of time on their hands now. Take this time to think about what God's purpose would be in your life. Like, don't just waste it binge watching. Guilty. I'm guilty. I binge watch some stuff. But don't make it all about that. Make it about, what can I do with this time that's going to be profitable and prosperous? So what's the opportunity here? You know, what the devil meant for evil, God will turn for the good, for who love him and according to his purpose. So even though this is an evil thing from an evil enemy, God will work some really great stuff in your life and in the world through this negative time. It'll turn to a positive.
It definitely will. And also, I wanted to add that even though we've lost a few people or many people, or if you took a great loss, it doesn't mean that you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not over. You mm-hmm. still have hope. You still can move on. You still have things to do. You have to continue to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe live your life in a positive way versus the person that did not live their life in a positive way while they were here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just continue to, you know, keep hope alive, because God is definitely real.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know him for yourself.
Absolutely.
And if
Absolutely.
You don't, it's a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that place is, but it's definitely a place for you. And I think you should really dig deep within you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And read and just, you know God for yourself, because he's definitely real. Every
yep.
time you wake up, every time you breathe, every time you sneeze, every time you cry.
Right. He's for you, not against you.
Of course. Never, yes. never against, ever.
He loves his people. I heard this and this made so much sense to me when I first heard it years and years ago. Jesus sent his son for the whole world, because
yes.
we were all in the same boat. We were mm-hmm. all sinners. He sent his son for every single person who ever was and will be. And he loves us all. And he just wants to be your father, your protector, the lover of your soul, your provider, your doctor.
Your friend.
Your friend. Yeah, absolutely. Like, he is not out to punish you and,
no.
you know, no, he wants to uplift you.
Under no circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Under
yep.
no punishment.
Yeah.
No
condemnation. None. So, that's the good news.
Yes, that's definitely good news. That is definitely the good news. Yes. There you have it, dear sis. I enjoyed Christina.
Oh, this was nice.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of
this
course.
Is fun.
Thank you for being in the hot pocket seat, dear sis. Well, guys, we have it. It's almost over. Let's stay faithful.
Yes.
Let's be positive.
Mm-hmm.
So all my dear sis listeners, thank you for listening. And guess what? I gotta go.
You've been listening to the Dear Sis Podcast. Visit us online at dearsis.world today to leave a message or ask a question for our monthly Q&A with MJ.